Palpatine.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Now,
prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
This is an important show, very, very important show. But before we get started, I have to mention something. About a week and a half ago, I said that I was going to buy two plants and water one of them with previously microwaved water and one of them with just out-of-the-jug bottled water to see if what my guest that day, I can't believe I forgot his name, Richard, I want to say Thomas, said that the once you microwave water, it changes it molecularly, and if you water a plant with it, it will die. And I didn't necessarily believe it or not believe it, but I tried it myself. Well, I've got bad news. First of all, neither of the plants looked really bad. The one that got the microwave water was just as robust for the first 9 days of the test. And living here in Phoenix, I know a lot of people have emailed me and posted on the board what's going on with the plants. Well, they both died. I've got to water them one day, and in the hot Phoenix sun, both of them died. Ergo, I am not the type of person that should be performing experiments like this. I'll leave it to the scientists. But what I can say about it is that the plant that was getting the microwave water did not look like it was suffering, dying, wilting. It was just as robust as the other one. So for 8 days, it didn't affect it, that's for sure. Okay, now we're going to talk about something a bit more important. My guest today is Crispin Sullivan. She's been on the show before. How are you doing, Crispin?
Good to speak with you again.
Yes, and we're talking about a very important subject, something that is not discussed openly in this day and age, but it's something that is critical to understand. And it's about a hidden component in some foods that actually could be precipitating inflammation and maybe at the root of much of the inflammation in the Western-style diet, which is very, very carbohydrate-centric. We're talking about lectins today. For my listeners, Crispin, first explain what a lectin is.
A lectin is a glycoprotein, which is a combination. We have lipoproteins, which are protein-fat combinations, and then glycoproteins are carbohydrate protein combinations. And they're a very tightly bound together protein. So you would find them in... You'd find them in high amounts in foods that that vegetarians would call high protein. So there's a lot in legumes, peas. They exist in all foods,
right?
Including meat,
right?
But they're abundant in food carbohydrates that contain protein,
right? Now, my first exposure to lectins was one of the shows I did with Dr. Lauren Cordain. The promoter of the Paleolithic diet. He also is a professor in Colorado State, I believe. And he was the first one to kind of talk to me about lectins. I had not known anything about them. And the way he positioned it made it sound like that lectins were naturally occurring pesticides designed to keep bugs from perhaps eating potatoes and beans and stuff like that. And they were toxic. Are lectins really toxic?
That's a very limited view. There are certain substances in all foods and plants, all European and olive leaf, which are natural insecticides. But no, that's not their only role. Kidney bean is famous because kidney bean lectins can kill you, as ricin.
Right. Wasn't that the first lectin discovered by Dr. Peter Stillmark, I want to say. The very first one was ricin, R-I-C-I-N.
Well, that I can't answer that. I don't know that. But since that time, certainly the lectins have been become a field in and of themselves because when we genetically engineer something, what we engineer are the proteins, which are the lectins.
So now, and we were going to talk more about GMO and its influences here as well in a moment. But just staying with the whole lectin story, lectins tend to have some toxicity. Is that correct?
No.
No.
Well, in certain situations, certain lectins are toxic. Yes. But all lectins absolutely are not toxic.
Okay. Are the lectins found in lots, like plant source lectins, like those found in legumes or in potatoes, let's say, are those toxic?
Not in the, not how we would think of a toxin, not like toxic shock syndrome or ricin, no.
Okay. Now, is it true?
That's not their problem. That isn't the problem
with lectins. Okay, so what is the problem with lectins?
Because they are a glycoprotein, if you can imagine, this is specifically within humans, but actually it also occurs in animals, and there is a picture of it on my website, on the CRISPN.com site, of the pig intestinal tract. I think that you've seen that.
Yes, I have.
And what happens is, in humans, just sort of to give you sort of the formation of it and develop it a little bit, in humans, they're designed to consume breast milk. Breast milk has lectins in it, but there are lectins that are, human tolerant,
okay,
shall we say.
Okay.
The human intestinal tract, when a baby is born, is not fully, it's semi-permeable in a not safe way up to 18 months of age.
Okay.
And during that period of time, there's a researcher in England who found that infants that were given cow's milk, which contains lectins, they're dairy lectins. They don't actually call them dairy lectins. I'm calling them that.
Right.
And what he believes happens is they're a protein. They are not easily digested. This carbohydrate protein bond that exists in this complex molecule is not broken down easily. And it is the belief of lectinologists that what occurs in the human body, and in this instance in infants, is that it gets across that gut wall not fully broken down as a foreign protein, not as a simple polypeptides, but mm-hmm. as a complex protein, glycoprotein. The body begins making antibodies to it, and the structure of that glycoprotein is similar to the human pancreas. And these antibodies attack the human pancreas and cause the onset of juvenile onset diabetes, which is where the pancreas itself is destroyed. Not
right.
insulin resistance, but where it's destroyed.
Right. It no longer functions, right.
Right. And gluten, which is a lectin, absolutely causes antibodies in the human body to destroy the intestinal tract. Instead of identifying the gluten, but then the gluten attaches or structurally intermingles with the gut mucosa and causing an antibody reaction into people who are sensitive to this particular lectin. What is likely is that all of us tolerate some lectins and all of us don't tolerate some lectins.
So it may be like almost a polymorphism depending on what you were exposed to, your genetic past, maybe you tolerate some better than others.
5 to 7 generations ago.
Because I know that soybean lectins, which have, as you pointed out, agglutinin, I think they call it SBA, agglutinin, which is present in soy, it's a soy lectin, has been shown in some people to cause damage to the intestines, damage the small intestinal, what is it called, villi or villia?
Right, which is what the picture is on the website. In the lectin section, there's a picture of the intestinal tract. And what you see are two pictures of upper intestines. One of them is normal villi. The other one is villi that's been damaged by feeding pig soy. Now, when you think about the fact that pigs can eat anything, supposedly.
Right.
They cannot eat soy. In fact, the damage to the upper intestinal tract is so great that it would eventually result in no more pigs. So I find it appalling that people feed soy of any kind, soy nuts, those funny so-called raw soybeans.
Oh, yeah, edamame. That's all the rage amongst the metro
right.
Popular.
Right. It's to children, much less to adults.
Yeah, and that's part of my frustration about soy as well. I mean, so we know that soy causes lots of gastrointestinal distress, and now we're starting to see that soy lectins may actually be at the root of some diseases, perhaps like ulcerative colitis and irritable bowel syndrome. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be talking more with Crispin Sullivan. You can learn more about Crispin's writing by visiting her website at krispin.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
From the iconic metabolic expert, Dr. Scott Conley, comes Physique 2.0. Physique 2.0 is the only meal replacement with MetaFX, beta-FAOCHO. That's a long way of saying the only carbohydrate supplement that has been clinically shown to burn fat. Just like the complete milk protein in Physique 2.0 promotes fat burn, so does the carbohydrate source. This is the first ever food source that can burn fat while building muscle. What are you waiting for? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Physique 2.0 banner ad to learn more.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today. You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at USCellWellness.com. US Cell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at USCellWellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER. The ingredients in Halo Extreme come right from the folklore of the Eastern Bloc athletes whose strength dominated the Olympic Games in the 60s. Halo Extreme contains oral turinabol, which increases strength, muscle hardness, and muscle mass while not converting to estrogen or DHT. Iron Mag Labs combines this with a powerful ecdysterone called 5-alpha-hydroxylaxigenin that has shown to increase protein synthesis by up to 200%. Halo Extreme is a great choice for beginners to advanced users looking for low side effects and crisp, lean, easy-to-maintain gains. Go to ironmaglabs.com today to order Halo Extreme.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking today with Crispin Sullivan about lectins. What is the risk of consuming lots of lectins? Some perhaps more than others should we be concerned about? We're talking right now about the lectins found in soy. Do you think that that was an outlandish statement I made going into the break, that perhaps some of the IBS and ulcerative colitis that seems to be so popular today in young people could be linked to soy consumption?
It can be linked to two different lectin-related things. One part of it is lectins, but not necessarily soy. You have to remember that all carbohydrate, high-protein foods contain high amounts of potential interactions with lectins that your ancestors would not have consumed and your body doesn't like. That's part one. And soy is certainly one of them, and trying to get people who, very few Americans ever traditionally consume soy, and one of the things about soy consumption in countries where it was a normal thing, it was always fermented soy, never non-fermented soy.
Huh.
And fermenting changes the structure of the lectin, making it much less interactive or reactive. There are no cultures that ever ate soy as soy, ever. They in Japan, it's fermented. Natto is fermented. Tempeh is fermented. Soy sauce is actually fermented.
Well, isn't it true that if you eat raw potatoes, they can make you sick, but when you cook them, obviously they're edible, and the reason for that is it changes the lectin.
Not everyone will get sick from eating raw potatoes, as a kid who used to eat a lot of them growing up when I had to peel them.
Really?
Yeah.
You like the taste of them?
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe that's a proof that you could.
It has nothing to do with it.
Okay.
No, but because there's a lot of things people like that aren't good for them.
Yeah, that's true.
But there, it's more your genetic history. Often the thing that makes a person dairy intolerant is the lectins in dairy. Not always, but many times, which would be found in the casein protein, But there are other people who easily tolerate dairy of any kind.
Well,
and there are some people who can tolerate fermented dairy, but not unfermented dairy.
Well, now let's talk about dairy just a little bit more, because you raise an interesting point on your website when discussing lectins. And that is that there may be, let's say, a difference in the lectin landscape of milk produced by grass-fed cows versus cows that eat corn and grain, because corn and grain are high in lectins and some of it passes through to the milk. Are you of that opinion? Is that correct?
It's a possibility. I can't give you clinical research to say that, so I'm not going to stand behind it scientifically, but there is a possibility that that's true. But casein itself can be a problem for people whose ancestors did not consume dairy. Dairy is certainly forget where the cow's grazed. Dairy, soy, and wheat are the three greatest food intolerances worldwide.
Right.
Having nothing to do with the Western diet, having nothing to do with any of that. In addition, there are lots of sensitivities to legumes. Legumes are not grown worldwide. We didn't shift and move things historically. So 5 to 7 generations ago, you ate what grew locally, and if you didn't tolerate it, you died. That's pretty much it.
Right.
So what you develop is an intestinal tract and a digestive system that works with the foods that are available for your survival. That's how it works.
Right.
And there are other things that go along with it. What I mentioned was the idea of fermentation. One of the biggest reasons that we see so much IBS and Crohn's and ulcerative colitis in the United States actually has more to do with the use of antibiotics and the loss of the human microbiome, that making people more sensitive to all lectins.
Interesting.
There is a profound interaction between what we would call friendly microbes and the deconjugation of food lectins, or even inhalant lectins, as in pollen, where these microbes are able to deconjugate or break apart this complex protein so that it is no longer causes autoimmune reactions.
Now, there also appears to be some sort of a linkage between lectins and inflammation. Is that correct?
Well, if you react to a lectin, you're going to inflame like crazy because your body perceives it as a foreign protein. When you get a splinter, you get inflamed like crazy, your body trying to get rid of it. If a foreign protein, a complex protein like a lectin, touches the gut wall in a sensitive person or in other people who have gut wall permeability because of chronic use of antibiotics or ulcerative colitis, Crohn's, some other damage to the intestinal tract, and that or in infants who have not yet built a barrier, and that jumps across, it can contribute to every type of autoimmune disorder and actual destruction of human organs, including children's autoimmune kidney disease, where the proteins, the antibodies destroy the kidney. Or in certain types of autoimmune arthritis, there's a strong connection that that inflammation, those antibodies will then attack the joints.
And again, this is all stimulated from consumption of certain lectins.
Of lectins to which you are not tolerant. That really is the key. Whether your tolerance is genetic or induced because you have digestive problems. You know, you've been chronically taking antacids, which damage the intestinal tract, or you have a history of antibiotics, which have damaged your microbiome, that is the 100 trillion normal microbes that live in and on your body. Or you ate one kind of, like you can have a person who eats gluten and is genetically intolerant to gluten, and that damages the intestinal tract, so then other lectins are able to jump across into the body proper and then wreak other kinds of havoc. And so you become intolerant to them where you wouldn't normally have been, but because of the first stage damage, you now develop, it's exactly what you see in people who become intolerant to everything.
Yeah, right.
And have to go live in a glass bubble. All their barriers are gone, and frequently the initiators of that process are lectins, and it can be genetic or non-genetic in the sense that if certain barrier functions fail, whether you genetically can tolerate that or not, you now can't.
Can people reverse these? If someone has had a reaction to lectins over time, they've been ignorant of it, they've continue to eat certain foods that are not tolerated by them, and they've started to erode the lining of the stomach, for instance, can that all be reversed just by eliminating those foods?
Yeah. Gluten intolerance, which is the most well-known and the most well-studied, or otherwise known as celiac sprue, is 100% reversible when you stop consuming foods that contain gluten.
And gluten basically comes from wheat, right?
Wheat, rye, oats, barley, malt.
And the interesting
grain
thing,
vinegar, grain alcohol.
You know what the interesting thing about all this is, as you're saying this, all of these foods, I'm going to call them foods for lack of better terms, were all became foods after the agricultural revolution and processing, because when Paleolithic human beings roamed the earth, they couldn't eat beans. They were too hard, and they weren't going to sit and cook them. They didn't grind wheat. They didn't prepare, you know what I mean? It's like, it wasn't until we started to go, we have to find other sources of food. Let's see if we can grind that up and eat it, that all of a sudden these things are introduced into our bodies. I don't believe we were ever designed to eat grain. Or corn,
guarantee you that you can survive without it.
Exactly. I mean, I don't think we were ever designed to eat corn. If you go out in a field and you assume that you don't have a stove, you don't have tools, and you come upon an ear of corn, and you try to bite into that hard ear of corn, you're going to throw it aside and look for something else edible. Maybe you'll eat the corn silk before you'd eat the actual corn itself.
Oh, you've never eaten sweet corn on a field in Illinois.
You mean it's soft out of the ground?
Oh, yeah. When it is ripe and ready and the kernels are small, it's the sweetest thing on earth, and it requires no cooking of any kind.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, so I stand corrected there.
There are many kinds of corn, sweet corn is different than seed corn. And what you're talking about is the kind of corn you see at Thanksgiving with the hard kernels.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not the same kind of corn.
Okay. All right. But anyway, there are a lot of foods that we were just never designed to eat. And we had to figure out how to prepare them so that we could eat them.
Absolutely. You know, I still want to know who ate the first artichoke. I really want to know.
Well, you know what they say. It may have choked Artie, but it ain't going to choke me. But no, I actually like artichokes, ironically.
Me too.
So.
I love them. But I would never have thought of cooking one or needing it.
The best way to cook an artichoke is in a pressure cooker.
Good to know.
If you cook it in a pressure cooker, you can lift it out of the once it cools and eat it like an apple. The whole thing is edible when you cook it in a pressure cooker. It's just amazing.
Oh, that's especially good to know.
Yeah.
Because you get more.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You don't have to fight with the leaves and just, you know, and tug the ends off. I mean, you can just eat the leaves and everything and just devour it and swallow it. And the good thing about artichokes, ironically, is artichokes are one of the few prebiotics. They actually promote healthy gut flora forming on its own without taking probiotics.
Well, any of the high fiber vegetables will be a prebiotic.
Yeah, there you go. We have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about something else, and I didn't notice this on your website, but I want to talk a little bit about, there seems to be some evidence that lectins may cause leptin resistance, and leptin resistance, we know, or insensitivity, is leading to obesity in this country. We're talking today with Crispin Sullivan about lectins, these hidden things in our food that may be causing some problems for those of you who have digestive issues. This is an important show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and TestCharge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only TestCharge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in TestCharge. TestCharge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in TestCharge. TestCharge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find TestCharge today. Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you. Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to ageforce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else? Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest today is Kristen Sullivan. We're talking about lectins. There is some evidence that lectins may actually have an affinity to the leptin receptor. Are you familiar with this, Crispin?
I am familiar with the theory.
You sound like you don't necessarily agree with it.
Go ahead.
Well, no. Go ahead. Okay. No, I'm just saying that there seems to be some evidence that lectins may interact with the leptin receptor and could also be one of the components that influences obesity, because we know that leptin is a hormone that's produced that influences satiety, or, you know, satisfaction after a meal, and that obese people tend to become more and more leptin resistant or insensitive, and lectins may also influence that.
Okay. The person who's putting out this theory makes a number of statements that aren't true, so I have a hard time following the logic, but here's what I can tell you. If you eat lectins to which you are intolerant, and when we switch from what our ancestors eat, if Hawaiians eat Hawaiian food, they don't get fat. And there's a lot of carbohydrates in it, and they eat poi, they don't get fat. And researchers have put them back in their traditional diet. They're fine the same way with the Inuit, and it would be the same way for us if any of us could figure out actually who and what we were, which most of us now can't in the United States because we're a mix. We're all mutts.
Right, right.
But with our mutthood, we bring along these intestinal tracts that are designed for certain type of foods. Where you can connect obesity and lectins, and you can, is that leptin plays a role in modulating the human immune system, okay? And what we already know about lectins clinically is they can set off a signal of foreign protein invading, which causes antibody production, a heightening of the immune system, and all the other natural responses of exactly, it's the body chemical version of fight or flight. I'm being attacked. I got to do something about it. And you, as you know, it's real interesting. You know people who, when they're under stress, get so skinny they disappear, right?
Right. I used to be like that until I got smart. I started eating when I got stressed.
And then there are these other people who, when they get stressed, what happens?
They put on a lot of weight.
They put on a lot of weight, and they aren't necessarily eating that many calories. It's just that every calorie they eat goes to storage.
Right.
And that also is your genes. But there's no question that lectins cause an inflammatory response if they're not friendly lectins. No question. An inflammatory response can have a profound effect on leptin and leptin resistance and leptin production.
Okay. Now, what would you say about the current agrarian diet? Well, I don't even want to say agrarian. The current Western diet, the food pyramid, that we should be eating primarily cereals and grains as the base of our diet, and how that influences lectin intake.
If you're going to do a lot of carbs, people are going to eat grains. There aren't a lot of... In Africa, until Archer Daniel Midland's and the like introduced grains, they ate a lot of squash. That was their carbohydrate.
Okay.
And did not have health issues. But squash can't be stored. You grow it, you eat it, you have to expend a lot of, it's very fresh food, right?
Right.
Grains you can put in a bin somewhere and store them for an extended period of time and
right.
take them out when you need them as long as the locusts don't eat them.
Right.
So there, it is a part of that culture, but what I tell my clients, I'm so politically incorrect. In every culture in the world, you give grains to the slaves and the serfs.
Really? Because, in other words, what you're saying is that is a lesser quality food, and then you give it to them.
It provides high calories at low cost, and since the serfs and slaves are working all the time, the enhanced physical activity tends to mitigate to a small amount the downside of the diet.
Gotcha. Sure. Sure. Makes perfect sense.
But I can guarantee you that's not what the kings and queens or emperors are eating.
Right. Yeah, they're eating healthier choices.
Meat and fruit and vegetables and sauces and dates and nuts and the more complete, higher protein, more nutrient-rich foods.
But now look at me. I'm Italian. I don't eat a lot of pasta at all anymore. As a matter of fact, I can't remember the last time I had a bowl of pasta.
Pasta, you know, is Chinese, correct?
Yes, yes, yes.
Thank
of course.
You.
Of course. But I mean, don't tell Marco Polo that. But anyway, the point I'm bringing out is that I don't eat a lot of pasta, but I have to believe that pasta is loaded with lectins because of durum wheat, you know, semolina. These are all loaded with lectins and gluten and everything else that we're talking about here, right?
Well, I just tell people, pasta is white bread. Need I say more?
There you go. Okay. Yeah. And I really don't eat pasta. I really can't remember. I mean, I grew up in a household where we had pasta two or three times a week as a child. And I can't remember the last time I've had a bowl of pasta, probably in the past couple years, at least. So I stay clear of it entirely. What do you tell people about lectins when you're lecturing, when you're working with clients? What's the Reader's Digest version that you give them about lectins? Do you tell them to stay clear of them, watch them, be conscious of them, or just don't even worry about it?
Whatever you're eating, if you feel great and it's wonderful and your body works and everything works, your hair, your nails, your sex drive, your everything, whatever you're eating, I don't care, keep eating it. If you think that you're eating healthy, but you still have lots of issues, one of the things you need to look at is lectins because we just don't tolerate all of them. Each of us are very individual in what we tolerate. I've had an amazing number of people since I put the website up where it kind of tells you what to do. There is no test for whether you tolerate a lectin or not. And the way you tell if a food is your friend or not, you eliminate it for 10 days. And not just it, but all foods in its family. So wheat, anything containing wheat, rye, barley, oats, malt, dairy, all dairy, included fermented dairy, that kind of scenario where you eliminate all beans and legumes, not just soy, but all of them are out. Then on one day, eat a whole bunch of all different kinds. Like if you're testing gluten, have BLT and have pizza and have English muffin and, you know, and then don't eat it again for the next day and watch and see what happens. And you mentioned something before and you said intestinal. No, the symptoms are really interesting. One of the symptoms of gluten intolerance can be obesity with no other signs or symptoms at all.
Really?
One symptom of a lectin intolerance can be unbelievable mood changes. Sometimes it can be obvious. You know, you have diarrhea, but here's a story. In one of my classes, this girl, we were sure she was gluten intolerant. She stopped gluten. She ate it. And she said she knew that I was wrong because even though she had explosive diarrhea, she felt better than she had in 10 days. Well, what she had was an allergic addictive withdrawal response.
Right.
Where her adrenals were exhausted from chronically being under attack by gluten. So when she quit, her adrenals went down the tubes and she felt terrible. And when she ate the gluten, she felt better, but of course her bowel exploded. So what you see is the symptoms are not always anything at all to do with digestion. You know, they can be insulin resistance. They can be a thyroid disorder. Because if you're eating lectins, many autoimmune disorders, and believe me, in our culture we have tons, can be related to lectins that you're consuming. And if you stop consuming the lectins, the antibodies can disappear over a period of time.
Hmm.
Freed's work with the kids showed that these kids were intolerant to the dairy lectin. It affected their pancreas. You can't bring back a pancreas or other organ that has been turned into scar tissue by antibodies or cut out of your body. But if you cut it off soon enough, things can repair.
What about tomatoes? Surprisingly, tomato is one of the deadly nightshade families. I didn't know that.
Yeah, tomato, potato, and eggplant, which it makes them a very weird family, if you ask me.
You know what's funny? My mother makes eggplant parmesan, and I make it, and I love it. But whenever I eat eggplant parmesan, the next day I feel hungover. I feel sick, and I don't sleep good that night either. And I bet you it's because I'm allergic to the eggplant.
What's interesting is that what I started to say about the website is I had a lot of people who were unaware of the lectins in potato. And they found when they quit eating potatoes, they really felt better. And they weren't eating raw potatoes. They were eating cooked potatoes. And so, yes, to some extent, the whole bean thing of soaking and spilling and soaking and spilling does reduce it. But you know that, the rotation diet. The idea behind the rotation diet is that if you don't eat a food frequently, then you won't make antibodies to it. It's like you're tricking your body.
Mm.
But what it doesn't take into account is, while that may be true, it still attacks your body as a foreign protein. So it really is not a good solution.
Right.
And the same thing goes for soaking. You may be getting rid of a lot of the lectins, so there's only a few left. But if they're lectins that you're not tolerant to, they're not what you want to be consuming. A gluten intolerant, a serious gluten intolerant who has serious celiac screw can consume vinegar, which is grain vinegar, made because most vinegars are made from grain. Like even a lot of apple cider vinegars are fake. They're grain vinegar.
Really?
With apple cider added. And the vinegar in most mayonnaises is grain vinegar. It's not. You can't have that because it contains lectins.
See, and that's the problem. The real problem is that these byproducts permeate everything. I mean, corn and soy permeate just about every food out there. Like, now look at this. I didn't even know about that, about the grain vinegar. So even when you don't think you're eating a grain byproduct, you are.
Yes.
That's terrible.
Grain, it used to be potato vodka, but most vodka now is wheat-based. It's grain-based. So unless you buy 100% potato vodka, it's like tequila. Unless it says 100% agave, it's got grain in it.
And I love what is it called? Pulque, which is made from the agave plant. It's a type of tequila.
Right.
Interesting.
So So you have to be a label reader. I've worked with gluten intolerance, so it was very easy for me to fold into the general concept and handling of lectins for more than 30 years. But in America, until maybe 10 years ago, the first 20 years, my clients who were gluten intolerant could die going to a restaurant because even when they asked what was in the food, lots of the waiters or waitresses didn't know.
They don't know, yeah.
Or they'll lie to you because they think you're being fussy.
Yeah, I know. That's true, too. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we'll wrap up the show. We're talking today with Crispin Sullivan about lectins. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
The ingredients in Bridge read like a who's who of hormones and natural compounds designed to increase muscle mass, focus, and libido so you can keep all your hard-earned muscle gains as you cycle off or diet down. Bridge is not fairy dust. Ingredients like Phytogea, Pregenolon, Phosphatidylserine, and Alpha-GPC ensure you maintain an anabolic environment while Uricoma, Longifolia, Murapuama, Lepidium Mayeni, and Resveratrol keep you feeling strong and focused just the way you were on cycle. Bridge is the most unique supplement on the market that works anytime. Check out Bridge today at NeedToBuildMuscle.net. Don't lose your gains.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. If you want to learn more about lectins, you can go to Crispin's website, krispin.com, and then click the lectin link. It's probably one of the most thorough compilations of all the information about lectins that you'll find on the internet by far. So check that out. Crispin, KRISPIN.com. Crispin, you also mentioned something in here that I just want to kind of focus on for a second, and that is that you feel that pasteurization may make people more susceptible to the lectins that are in dairy. Why is that?
When you cook a protein, it's harder to digest.
So that is it simply that, or is it also the beneficial, what are they called? Not pathogens, but the beneficial
microbes
that are in milk, like some of the immunoglobulins and so on.
Okay, those
forth.
Aren't microbes. Microbes are living organisms. It's possible those things are changed also. Certainly, there's a big difference between pasteurized and unpasteurized milk. However, in many countries where there is dairy intolerance, they have raw milk. I mean, they don't have any other kind of milk.
Right.
So it isn't just that. Cooking changes protein, and you know this if you look at an egg. If you cook an egg too long, or if you, I loved your little story about microwaving water.
Oh yeah.
I don't know that it changes the water, but I can guarantee you that if you microwave something too long, it turns into something inedible.
Right. Yes, it does.
So does cooking, but it just takes a lot longer.
Right.
When you're cooking.
Right.
So you can harden proteins. That's what you're doing, is you're hardening proteins. And since these are glycoproteins, hardening them makes them more difficult to digest. And what it's about is no one wants a whole protein of any kind, of any type, to cross the gut wall. Because any protein that crosses is going to be, your body's going to have to make antibodies to it, because there's no system inside. You want things broken down into peptides, into protein particles.
Amino acids, right, exactly.
Before they go across the gut wall.
Right.
So anything that makes it more difficult to do that is can be at issue, and that becomes more true. The thought is that there are digestive enzymes present in raw foods, including raw milk, as well as those immune fractions, but even more than the immune fractions in this case would be things in it that help it break down. And those items could be further destroyed by heating. However, to make yogurt, you have to heat milk, and then you let the microbes digest it for you.
Right. And kefir, you just let it get room temperature. I like kefir better. What's the connection between... You know, there's a woman in England who's written a book about digestive problems and autism, neurotoxins that are not being broken down in the stomach but then circulating. What's the linkage between autism and lectins?
It's a specific type of autism she's talking about. It's called late onset autism.
Okay.
And
how late are we talking about when we talk about late onset? What's the age of the child?
I'm going to say this off the top of my head, and I could be completely wrong, but
okay.
You can certainly check it up. But six-ish,
okay.
Like not early childhood,
gotcha.
But
okay.
Later. We live in a sea of microbes. We have 100 trillion on and in us. We have 100 trillion whether they're friendly or not friendly, and a lot of them are neither friendly or unfriendly. They're just neutral.
Right.
Okay? Important, but neutral. Well, what you're going to see in the next year, and we'll probably do a show on it, is because I just started a project in this last October, is restoration of the human microbiome and what it will mean for all humans on the earth.
This is something that's so – I can't believe you just said this. Go ahead. Because this is something that really interests me. I actually been thinking about this from so many different standpoints. I'm wondering if you can – You know how you kill your lawn and then reseed it? Can you do that with your stomach and your intestines?
Yeah, we've been doing it since last October.
So do you
in a small group?
Oh, I want to be. Can I be in the group?
We'll talk about it after the show.
Okay.
But yes,
I guess
you can.
Okay.
We just started the project in October. We found a product that can provide upwards of 5 trillion friendly bacteria per dose, which compared to Mercola's 66 billion or, you know, the
any of those probiotics out
20
there, right.
billion, yeah.
Right.
It's a very potent dose. In fact, restoration of the human microbiome is curing ulcerative colitis and has been doing so for about 4 years. So but the field is new because most of the work's being done in Europe. And it's being done in Europe because here we think of pathogens. We think of microbes as pathogens. We don't think of them as the friendlies.
Right.
And if we do think about them as the friendlies, we think of them in terms of kefir and yogurt and...
Activa,
right. And the new ones that are going to be out within the next year, Danisco is going to be marketing yogurts to lose weight.
Hmm.
That the microbes in the gut of obese people are different than those in thin people, which is true. some of the things these microbes do is digest lectins. There's no question in some of the research that's currently going on, not in alternative labs, but in clinical labs.
Wow.
Relate to, can you seed with certain microbes for people who are genetically gluten intolerant to allow them to eat gluten? That kind of thing is what's going on. And how do you seed? You can seed the mouth and throat with microbes that will destroy the MRSA virus, which now 30% of Americans carry methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus in their nose.
Really?
And during the H1N1 breakout, the only deaths that occurred were in people who were carriers of Staphylococcus aureus. No other persons died. So if you are one of those 30% carriers, it's a big deal because it makes you more susceptible to serious illness from any other concurrent infections.
Right.
So, and it works in selectins in that in all cultures, fermentation was a part of all cultures because there was no refrigeration. And in longevity studies, the things that they found to be different in centenarians, there are only three things. And interestingly enough, it's not growth hormone, it's not estrogen, testosterone, it's none of those things. The three things that were completely different about centenarians were they had normal vitamin D levels in that optimal, not high, not low range.
Right.
They had normal thyroid function.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely spot on. And they had specific microbes that, when fed to lab rats, turned them into super rats.
Really? In their stomach, you're saying, these microbes?
It's really in your body.
Yeah,
it's not
right.
Your stomach. We're talking about coating your skin, your nose, your mouth, your throat. When we started the project in October, one of the most interesting things that happened almost immediately is numbers of people who were in the project reported back that they could sing again, which I thought was just ridiculous, but actually made sense because they had restored the microbiome of the larynx.
Ah.
And it altered all the mucosal tissue.
Sure.
From the mouth and nose all the way through the entire body.
See, this is really interesting to me because this is something that I've been struggling with. I took an antibiotic last year because of an abscess that I had to have before they could work on it. They gave me an antibiotic. The antibiotic totally destroyed my stomach, and my stomach has never been the same. I have a hard time digesting everything right now, and I've been thinking, gee, you kill your lawn and then reseed it. Why can't I kill everything in my stomach and then just drop tons and tons of the proper microbes in there to reline my stomach?
Well, because, first of all, you have 100 trillion microbes, and no matter what you take, you can't kill them all.
Right, okay.
It's not possible.
Right.
And, again, lots of them are neutral, and it's an ecosystem, which is really interesting. So a lot of the changes that we're actually expecting in the human immune system won't take place until after next October, because the things that we're doing right now are actually profoundly altering the entire immune system, not just in the gut, but they actually alter the thymus and the spleen.
Wow, that's interesting, the thymus especially. Listen, Crispin, we're coming to the end of the interview. I want to plug your website again. I want to tell people that Crispin has a newsletter that she only sends out when there's something important to communicate.
Or interesting.
Or interesting, right. It's not one of these newsletters that every week you get one in your inbox, whether you want it or not. It's only when Crispin finds something interesting or important. Go to Crispin.com, K-R-I-S-P-I-N.com. Sign up for her newsletter. Also, she has a workbook that she has used with many of her clients that is now available to the general public. It's $40. Where can they learn about the workbook? At the website also?
It's links to the other website on vitamin D, sunlightd.org, but there's a link on the crispin.com website to that website.
And
it talks about the workbook.
And this workbook will allow people to unlock their own nutritional strategies, correct?
Correct, and has information on lectins and vitamin D, and it includes information on the human microbiome.
It's really a complete assembly workbook. But it's
you
an assembly of all of the things that you've worked on for many, many years.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, so this is really, for $40, it's a bargain. Go to Crispin, K-R-I-S-P-I-N.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Check out the workbook. Crispin, thanks so much. And we will do that show when you're ready, okay, about the lining of the stomach, changing the microbes there.
It's always a pleasure. I'll be glad to come back again.
Okay. And we will see everybody tomorrow with another episode of Superhuman Radio. So tune in then.
Is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Hey, did you know you could listen to Superhuman Radio while mobile? Go to the BlackBerry store and download the Radio Bee app. Go to shoutcast.com and search for the Superhuman Channel and get started today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.